Turn, if you will, in your Bibles tonight to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 is a passage of Scripture that we've read many times and talked about many times. It's the hall of faith. There's one man that I want you to talk about, I want to talk about tonight. I want to give his life. I think his life was a very, under God's providential care. God led him all the way through his life. And I believe God's leading you and I through our lives. We're not here by accident tonight. We're here because God led us to be here. Everything is done is not by luck or chance. God is at work in your life. God is at work in our life. And I want us to look in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23. It says, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's command. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea and by dry ground, as by dry ground, whereas the Egyptians attempting to do so were drowned. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the passage of Scripture tonight. God, it talks about Moses. And it talks about his faith in you. And Lord, how you led his life. And tonight as we look at his life, Lord, I pray that you'll reveal many things about his life that also are could be said about our lives as well. And God, I pray tonight if there's one person here that's out of your will, God, you'll draw them back into your will. That if there's one person here that's not saved, Lord, tonight might be that night of salvation. And Lord, may we all, as we've heard, go out and testify of the greatness of our God, for we have an awesome God. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, last week we talked about Joshua. Joshua is one of my favorite characters in the Bible because that is the promise God gave me when I came here 28 years, I believe, in September. Well, you know, Moses single-handedly, of course, all of this is God, okay? When I say Moses, I'm talking about how God led him. We can't do a thing without God, okay? I want you to understand that. But God, through Moses, his servant, single-handedly, no army around, brought the world's most powerful nation to its knees. Now you think about that. Single-handedly, one man plus God literally brought down the world's most powerful nation to its knees. Man, ain't that great? Isn't that an awesome God that we serve? And when it comes to Joshua and it says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Don't you know that the people were grieving about the loss of this great man? When they said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, Joshua, arise. As I was with Moses, so shall I be with you. Don't you know that Joshua, understanding that Moses single-handedly brought down the world's greatest nation to its knees. Boy, we With God on your side, you can't lose. And folks, God is looking, I believe the Bible says, God is looking for a man, a woman, or boy or girl who will believe Him, put their faith in Him, and let Him use them just that mightily. And guess what? You could be the next Moses. You could be the next Joshua. If only we would walk by faith. How in the world did Moses do that? Well, it simply was in 23, 24, 27, 28, and 29. It was by faith. Faith in our Lord and Savior. Now, the Old Testament history just flowed from a fall, and the stream of sin broke loose in the Garden of Eden. And that resulted in a flood and a stream of secularism through the world and worldliness that resulted in confusion at the Tower of Babel. And then there was a stream of salvation through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And God called out a man of the Ur of the Chaldees named Abraham. And through Abraham, a young man named Isaac was born. And through Isaac, Jacob came onto the scene. And through Jacob, Joseph came onto the scene. And that gets us down in Egypt. Now, I just gave you the history of how the children of Israel landed down in Egypt. I hope you'll remember that. Now, it brings us to a man named Moses. The Bible says when there was a period of development in his life. You see, Moses just didn't happen to be a man of faith. I believe Moses had a mother and a father who were men and women of faith. You see, the Bible says when Moses was born, there was a decree out from the Pharaoh to execute all the babies. Isn't that sad? Now, Jochebed, Moses' mother, was a woman of faith. And Amram was a man of faith. And Jochebed kept Moses and hid Moses, the Bible says, for 3 months. And then she was afraid that probably sometime someone's going to hear him crying and he will be killed. So this is what she did. By faith, she hid, you know the story. She made an ark out of the reeds and pitched them with tar and put him in the Nile River. And then Miriam went along and watched for her brother. And that baby, just under God's guidance, flowed right down to Pharaoh's daughter. Well, Pharaoh's daughter saw Moses in the ark, and she wanted him for herself. And guess what? God, under God's providence, took that baby, Moses, and the sister said to Pharaoh, listen, I know a woman that will raise your child. And guess who it was? It was Jochebed. She raised her own child. Isn't that God's providential care right under Pharaoh's nose? Folks, that ain't luck. At any time, if Moses had been found out, he would have been executed. At any time, Moses' mother and father had been found out that they disobeyed the decree of Pharaoh, they would have been killed. But they had faith in God. They put their faith in God, and the Bible says they saw that he was a beautiful child. Man, that simply means they saw that he was a child that God had his hand on, that he was blessed of God, you see. Now, folks, people tell me today, I hear people all the time say, you know, I hate to think about raising a child in times like this. I've heard that, and I'm thinking, well, I'm so glad that Moses' mother didn't have that attitude. You see, the times in Moses' day was just as bad or even worse than it was in our day right now. For today, we see babies being murdered all right through abortion. But in those days, they murdered those children. But her baby, by faith, she saw it was a beautiful child. And her baby was the one that was going to set things straight for God. Now, we know the story of his birth. That took 40 years. Up on a day, you can divide Moses' life up in 40, 40, 40, because that was the way it went. But in a day when Moses became of age and was up in the years, he's raised there in Pharaoh's house, folks. He has the best education. He has everything, the wealth that he wanted. Everything is at his hand. He was in line to be one of the princes in Egypt there. But upon a day, he saw an Egyptian beating one of the Hebrews. And the Bible says that by faith, he chose rather to suffer affliction. You know what he did? He took sides with the Hebrew, and he killed that Egyptian and buried him in the sand. And a little later, he was found out about. And they said, are you going to do to us what you did to the Egyptian? And he was afraid that a Pharaoh... And he got in the flesh here, I believe, and he run off into the desert. Lived 40 years in the desert. Folks, I know a lot of us today, a lot of our people, we get started in church and we start working for God and doing for God in church, and somewhere along the line, we lose that. We get in the flesh and we get, and the result is that we fall out into the wilderness and wander in the wilderness for some time. A lot of times, it's only through God's work in that providential care that gets us back. I've told you many times my testimony about coming here. I got in the flesh. I got out of the will of God. I got mad at God. I got mad at everything. And I just said, God, I don't know why in the world I'm trying to do this. It wasn't working out my way. But even in those times, when we're in the flesh a lot of times, God, through his divine providential care, works things out in our life where he moves us in a certain direction. And little did I know that God was moving me here. Slowly but surely in his time frame. That's the way he was doing in Moses' life. He chose to be mistreated with his people. He killed an Egyptian, and he had to run off into the desert for 40 years. It was a delay in his life, and that was the encounter, you see. There he encountered his wife. There he encountered a man, and he gave him his wife, and there he spent 40 years in the back of the desert herding sheep. You say, well, that's not a beautiful sight for a man that God has called, a man that put his faith in God, a man that God is going to use, wandering, sheep herding. But you know what? I believe it took 40 years for God to get the Egyptian out of old Moses. But he was doing it slowly but surely. He was there. He was a hired hand working. And I thought when I read that in Moses' life, man, it's a strange thing. The way God works in our lives. His people are being lashed down there in Egypt. His people are crying out down there in Egypt for a leader to take a control and lead them out. And here's his man, the mightiest man in the world at that time, at the peak of his life, and he's herding sheep in the back of a desert. I believe God needed to teach Moses a lesson that strength comes through weakness. For Moses wasn't a strong man. Moses had some problems in his life. Evidently, Moses wasn't an educated man enough to where he could speak fluently. And God wanted Moses to lay aside that strength and said, Moses, I don't need your strength. I don't need what you learned down there in Egypt. I need my strength flowing through you. And that's a lot of times what God tries to get over to you and I tonight. You know, in and of ourselves, we can do nothing. It only comes when we lay aside our strength and say, okay, God, here's my life, take it and use it. I recall the day that I went in and told Roy that I'm not going. I'm not going to Piney Woods to put up with a bunch of fourth and fifth grade boys that act like heathens. You see? And I know you're thinking, well, you know, I understand why you're not going. Some of us have that same idea tonight, don't we? I heard Richard making a plea for a bus driver this morning. And I know it's probably going through your mind, it's not going to be me. I'm not going to do that. Have you ever put up with those kids on a bus? Well, I know I have. But you never know what God's going to do through your life. You never know what God's going to do through one of those children that you bring and pick up. You see, you never know. And sometimes we just have to eat our words and say, well, okay, God, if that's what you want me to do, if you want me to drive a bus, if you want me to, Lord, if you want me to be a monitor on a bus, then I'll do it. I never will forget, I went home. We didn't live a long way from the church at that time, just about 100 yards in the old brick house there, old schoolhouse. I went home. Man, I felt like, all right, I did what I said I was going to do. I told him I wasn't going. And God began to speak to me and said, oh, yes, you are going. You just don't know it yet. And I felt, you know how the Holy Spirit makes you feel about this tall? He made me feel about that tall. And I come to the point and I said, okay, Lord, I will go if you'll just leave me alone. Give me some relief. And I had to march back over there to the office, you know, and marched in and said, Roy, I'll go. I'll go. Well, little did I know at that time, God was sending a group from this church, congregation that started this church down there, and I was going to meet them, and you know the story. The rest is, I'm here. But you know what? If it hadn't have been for God's guidance, if it hadn't have been for God working those things out in my life, I wouldn't be here today. And you wouldn't be here today. I don't know how you got here. I always ask people, how in the world did you find Gun Barrel City? Some of them said, well, I was running from policemen at the time. No, I'm just kidding you. I've heard some people come to the lake to hide, get away from everybody. Well, Jack Taylor said that in Egypt, Moses learned to be something. But down in the wilderness, he learned to be a nothing. And God takes the nothings of the world, and if he'll take that nothing of the world and make them something, if they will make themselves available. And God is looking for you tonight, and God is looking for me tonight. If we'll only make ourselves available to him, he will bless us. Yes, there's 3,400 unreached people groups in the world. I don't know where they are, but I'm sure if you ask Zach, he can tell you where some of them are. If you've been on a mission trip, you'll run into a lot of them. But there are people all around the world tonight that have never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we can't, that just blows our mind, doesn't it? To think that there's that many people out there that have never heard about Jesus Christ. But they are. And I noticed at our last convention that the Southern Baptists are making it a priority in the next few years to find those people groups, and a church will adopt one of those people groups and go over there. We don't have enough missionaries in the world to reach all of those people. It has to be through the churches. It has to be First Baptist Gun Barrel. It has to be First Baptist Cedar Creek Lake. It has to be somebody saying, Lord, we'll take on a group and we'll go and share the gospel with that people group. Yes, Let me tell you, some of these places, it's not very pretty. And some of these places are dangerous. But you know what? It's worth going. It's worth moving according to God's will to those places. Even if it means death, it's worth going. You see, God's hand is there. God's guidance is there. And Moses was that man. He knew that if God wanted him to do something, even if it meant his death, it would be worth it all. And you see, a deliverance. Well, you know the story of the burning bush. He argued with God. He said, God, I don't know if I can go, but he said, Moses, you can go. You can do whatever I ask you to do. And I don't have the time tonight to tell you all about Moses' life in one sermon. But let me tell you something. Moses was a man that his life was simply yielded to God there at that burning bush that day. There's a contest with Pharaoh's life. There's the journey to Sinai. There's a march to the promised land. There's the Kadesh Barnea where they turned around. There's a march back into the wilderness. And then there's a march back to the promised land. Moses, problems. He surrendered his life. But even though surrendering your life to God's will does not, will not take you away from the problems in the world. For let me tell you something. Moses had a lot of problems. From the enemies on the outside that he had with the Amalekites, from within there was the disappointments at the golden calf. There was disappointments of the people always complaining. There was the disappointments. They tried to kill Moses and Joshua. Friends, I can understand why Moses told God, Lord, I don't know how to lead this whiny bunch of people. But yet I see that he begged God, don't kill them, God. Don't kill them. And we must learn sometimes if we're going to serve God, we're going to face a depressing daily grind of duty in which we serve God. It's not all roses. I found out in most churches there, everybody wants to be the chief. Nobody wants to be the Indians. Everybody wants to wear a crown, and nobody wants to wear a cross. Everybody wants the glory, and people don't want any reproach for saying what they say. Abraham spent life as a homeless refugee. Think about it. All of his life, after he left Egypt, he wandered in the desert. Bible says David, his heart was broken because of his sins. If you look at the New Testament, John the Baptist was beheaded. 10 of the disciples died with violence, death, and Christ, their leader, was crucified on the cross. This is what it means tonight if we're going to follow God. We must follow him wholeheartedly, committed to him, if we're going to be blessed. And then there was a power in his life. He took his shepherd's rod. I always loved the story of whatever that story was. Moses. No, it was the Ten Commandments, wasn't it? Ten Commandments. I love that story. I couldn't wait till they got to the rod and the serpent where he threw it down in front of Pharaoh and it became God's rod. It was Moses' rod, but when he threw it down, it became God's rod. And when the rod was raised to the Nile, it was Moses' rod and it became God's rod. And the Red Sea parted. When he struck the rock, it was God's rod. And finally, in Moses' hands, it was Moses' rod. But when he obeyed God, God became a rod of power. Now, you place all that in God's hands, and he will make you a blessing. He will make you the person you need to be for him. And folks, we need to be that kind of person tonight. We need to be a leader. And then I want us to look at one more thing about Moses' life. In Deuteronomy 34, Moses' life ends upon one of the saddest of all in Scripture. And here it is. The man who God gave so much, who worked so hard, who never set foot in the promised land. Can you imagine that? Punishment for one sin committed in those desert years. I mentioned a while ago when he struck the rock. He struck that rock and God sentenced him to die in the wilderness. Now, folks, I don't know about you, but if God sentenced me to die because of one sin, I'd already be dead. I thank God for his grace. But Moses, he begged God. He begged God. He said, God, let me cross over to the promised land. God said, no, Moses, you're not going to go. But finally God said, Moses, let me tell you what. I'll take you up on a mountain and let you look into the promised land. And then the Bible says he was carried away and buried by God. So great a man that the New Testament tells us that Michael, the archangel of God, fought with the devil over the body of Moses. Folks, I don't know what all that means, but it certainly means that Moses was a great man whom God talked to face to face. And folks, to me, Moses was a successful man in life. Moses was a great man in life because he obeyed God, for he was in the hall of fame. A lot is written about Moses here in chapter 11. And folks, in case you think God was unfair, remember this. The closer you walk with God, the greater price we're going to pay for that closeness to God. Moses walked closer to God than most people ever get. Now let me end on a happy note. I'm so glad the story of Moses doesn't end at the lonely grave. But preacher, you just said it ended, God buried him. Yes, he did. God buried him. And he, let me say how to say this. He got to see the promised land, but 1,200 years later, he got to be in the promised land. You see, Jesus, the Bible tells us, comes to die. And before his death, before he makes his way to the cross, Jesus needs some encouragement. Don't you need encouragement every once in a while? Well, Jesus needed some encouragement. And high on the mountain, who does he see? Turn, if you will, to Matthew 17. Let me read this. Matthew 17. I'm so glad that God put this in the Bible. 17, verse 3. Now, after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, led them up on a high mountain by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them talking with him. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that wonderful that God let Moses finally make it to the promised land? Because his son, Jesus, needed encouragement. And he sent his special man, Moses, and Elijah, to encourage his son before he went to the cross. Folks, let me tell you something. Death did not destroy his life. There he was. Death did not destroy his visibility. He saw the promised land. Death did not destroy his usefulness. Because God still needed him. He's still serving God some 1,200 years later, he's ministering to the very only Son of God, 40 years of age. Man, I can remember my 40th birthday. I turned it right here. It seemed like only yesterday. And 20 years later, here I am. You know, Moses said, by faith, I choose to be God's man. We come to a fork in the road in our lives. We each do that. Every day we meet, we have to make a decision. You see, we choose every day. Am I going to live for God or am I going to live for the world? You have to make that decision. It doesn't mean just because you're saved. Once saved, I believe you're always saved. But it doesn't mean that you are not going to face problems in life. We have to make decisions every day. Are we going to serve in the kingdom of God, or are we going to let the devil have his way that day? And let me tell you, the devil's real. He wants to destroy your witness. He wants to destroy your testimony. Sin, the Bible says, has pleasures for a season. And then the wages of that sin is death. You choose sin tonight, and you will have maybe pleasure. But the day will come when there's a payment. And the day will come when you have to pay a price for that sin. For every sin, you reap a consequence. Folks, what will it be tonight in your life? God wants to guide you. God has guided you here. God has put you here in this church. We make up a body of believers. Every one of us, he wants you to serve. I don't know how God's guiding you. I don't know where God wants you to serve. Maybe it is in the bus ministry. Maybe it's in the choir. You heard two calls for please tonight. They're going to start the Christmas musical. Man, it's a beautiful thing. If you can sing, why don't you join in with them? That's the way you can serve God. Maybe God's called you with a lot of patience, and you want to drive that bus. Folks, we need workers. You've got to work. The church needs workers. I need helpers. Teddy needs helpers. We all need encouragement. Whether it's just filling a pew on Sunday morning, sitting in a class, learning the Word of God together. Why don't you make a choice that by faith you're going to serve God? By faith, you're going to live for God. By faith, you know, by faith, we're going to trust God to do whatever he wants in our life. And when we come to the end of our life, I know one thing. God's going to bless you with all the riches in glory. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, God, I thank you for Moses. Lord, I thank you for his story. For, Lord, it's an encouragement. It's an encouragement to me. It's an encouragement to the Christian, Lord, that you've got the power. You've got the control in our life to direct our lives and guide our lives. One little baby whose parents saw that he was a good child, that God wanted to use him, when he made a choice to give you his life, even if it meant suffering, and God used him. We have a choice tonight. We can either choose the world or we can serve a mighty God. And Lord, I pray tonight that if there's someone here that's come to that fork in the road and tonight they have a choice, Lord, will they make that choice to serve you? And we'll give you the praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen.